ram hare hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Rama Rama Hare Hare Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Kaliva Jagacharya Astodo Sata Sri Srimadis Divine Grace Sabai Chana Vinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrindaki Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Prem Seka Ho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nichanan Sri Dvaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindaki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopinath Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Shri Vrindavandam Ki Shri Gangamai Ki Shri Jamanamai Ki Shri Mati Tulsi Devi Maharani Ki His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Their Lordship Shri Shri Radha Sham Sundar Ki Their Lordship Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ki Their Lordship Shri Shri Gaunitai Ki Their Lordship Shri Shri Lakshmi Nashinga Dev Ki Iskandu Ramarati Dham Ki Nitai Gau Premanandi All glories to the assembly of bodies. All glories to the assembly of bodies. All glories to the assembly of bodies. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 15, entitled The Killing of Danuka, the Ass Demon. Text number 26. Is that correct? Prayachatani na Krishna Gandalobita Chetasam Vanchasti Mahati Rama Gamyatam Yadi Rochate Prayachatani na Krishna Gandalobita Chetasam Vanchasti Mahati Rama Gamyatam Yadi Rochate Prayachatani na Krishna Gandalobita Chetasam Vanchasti Mahati Rama Gamyatam Yadi Rochate. Please chant. Prayachatami na Krishna Gandalobita Chetasam Vanchasti Mahati Rama Gamyatam Yadi Rochate Prayachatam Gandalobita Chetasam Vanchasti Mahati Rama Gamya tamya adirochate. Panchasti Mahati Rama
Ramya Tam Yadi Rochate
Mothers, Prayachaditana Krishna Dandalo Vita Chetasa Panchasti Mahati Rama Gamyatam Yadi Rochate. What else? Prayacha, please give. Tani, them. Na, not. Na, to us. Krishna, O Krishna. Ganda, by the fragrance. Lobita, made greedy. Chetasam, whose minds. Vancha, the desire. Asti, is. Mahati, great. Rama, O Rama. Gamyatam, let us go. Yadi, if. Rochate, it appears like a good idea. A translation and purport as inspired by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Translation, O Krishna, please get those fruits for us. Our minds are so attracted by their aroma. Dear Balaram, our desire to have those fruits is so great. If you think it is a good idea, let's go to that Tala forest. Purport, although neither man nor bird nor beast could even approach the tall forest, the cowherd boys had so much faith in Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram that they took it for granted the two lords could effortlessly kill the sinful ass demons and acquire the delicious tall fruits. Lord Krishna's cowherd boyfriends are exalted, self-realized souls who would not ordinarily become greedy for sweet fruits. In fact, they are simply joking with the Lord and enthusing his pastimes, urging him to perform unprecedented heroic feats in the Tala forest. Innumerable demons disturb the sublime atmosphere of Vrindavan during Lord Krishna's presence there, and the Lord would kill such demons as a popular daily event. Hare Krishna. Since Lord Krishna had already killed many demons, on this particular day, he decided to give first honors to Lord Balaram, who would demolish the first demon, Danuka. By the words, Yadi Rochate, the cowherd boys indicate that Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram need not kill the demon simply to satisfy them. Rather, they should do so only if the lords themselves found the concept appealing. Om again, Timurandasya Gana Janashalakaya, Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guru Venama, Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutalesha Matishila Virvau Prabhu Itinamane, Shri Shri Vrindata Vivira Padbanka Jadayane, Prabhupada Anuvadaya Namah Shri Virvave. So these pastimes continues with Lord Krishna performing all these daily feats of killing so many demons, and so protecting his devotees and relieving the earth's burden. So these are going on a daily basis. It's like a daily routine. Sometimes one demon per day, sometimes more than one. But when he came here to Danuka, there was a halt in his activities. So he changed from being the killer of Danuka, and he decided to have Balaram do that instead. So there was a question raised here by Maharaj Baholashva to Garga Muni, that why is this? There is also a question raised by Akrura in his prayers in glorification of Krishna. He's saying that, just see how partial my Lord is, that he's giving the same facility to the devotee as he's giving to the demons. That the same airplane that he took Dhruva Maharaj back to the spiritual world with, that Dhanuka is also getting the same opportunity. And so why is that? And also, why is it that he is giving this opportunity to someone else to destroy this demon? So, in the former life of Dhanukasura, he was Sahasika. That was his name. He was the son of Bali Maharaj. And he was sporting in the mountain range of the Gandamandan mountain. From the history of Bhagavatam, you understand that a lot of the demigods and a lot of the powerful ones goes there for enjoyment. So apparently it's a very special place for material enjoyment. And he was enjoying there with his musical instruments and a lot of women and wine and so forth. That's after they had conquered the demigods, so they were enjoying the demigods' sporting places. And Durvasa Muni came forward. Durvasa Muni was meditating nearby, so all this commotion broke his meditation. So he saw this demon in his former life here, Sahasika, sporting and with no regard for saintly persons. So he cursed him. He said, you're engaging in this ass-like activities, therefore become an ass. He said, but you would be liberated when Lord Balaram comes to kill you. So like that, this prediction was there. So then Krishna allows Balaram to take the honors. Also that because Dhanukasura appeared in the dynasty of Bali Maharaj, the son of Bali Maharaj, which is the descendant of Prahlad Maharaj. So Lord Krishna had promised that he would not kill the descendants of Prahlad Maharaj. Remember that earlier? So he decided he made that promise. Even with Banasura, he didn't kill Banasura because of his promise. So like that, because this demon had appeared in the dynasty of Prahlad Maharaj, then he wasn't killed by Lord Krishna himself. Even though Lord Krishna fought at great length with him, there are many detailed descriptions in other scriptures. So this question was asked, that why was this? So here is an explanation as to why Balaram took this charge. And also Akrura was, in his prayers, was saying that how is it, how glorious it is that the Lord's devotees and the demons looks like they are enjoying the same facilities of being taken care of by the Lord. So this is a question that we can raise, and it can become very contentious. That how is it that the demons and the devotees apparently get the same facility? So Srila Prabhupada explains in Bhagavad Gita that for the devotees, one who is always thinking of him, that they're always on his mind also, that they're always within him, he's always thinking of them also. So even though these other personalities may appear to get the same facility of, like, outwardly, their destination and their internal facilities are not the same. Just like one, you might have a king, who may treat his ministers and his very dear persons, give them nice facilities. Sometimes for diplomatic reasons, he may give the same facility to an enemy who he's trying to conquer or who he's trying to bring him around. So you'd give him similar facilities. So outwardly, it would appear that, okay, the friend and the demon is getting the same facility, so what's the difference? But internally, there is. There is a difference. So here, because Durvasa Muni had intervened in the life of Dhenuka in his previous birth, then Krishna makes adjustments to fulfill that course and thus that benediction of Durvasa Muni. So this is another aspect of our philosophy of how the Lord inconvenience himself per se to facilitate the activities, to facilitate the wishes, to facilitate the benediction of his devotees. With all, you understand that Durvasa Muni is in a different category. But still, because Durvasa has pronounced such a course / benediction, then Krishna makes all adjustments to fulfill that. So this is the nature of Lord Krishna, that he makes adjustments to fulfill the desires and the benedictions and the promises of anyone who turns towards him. So this is our special opportunity that we're having, to be in a situation whereby the Lord cares very much for us. Of course, he cares for everyone else. Like the saying is that we are all God's children, whether we are devotees or not devotees. So that care and attention is there. But for the devotees, it is much more. And the devotees also partake in the Lord's activities to satisfy his desires. So sometimes, and many times to do that, they would undertake voluntary austerity or suffering. Just like in the material world here, we have a loved one. You love your husband or your wife so much that you would take some austerities for their pleasure. It's natural, whoever you're attached to or you love. So similarly, these devotees of the Lord, take on voluntary austerity and voluntary suffering. And sometimes they act in strange ways that appears to be contrary to Vedic standards, just for the pleasure of the Lord in reciprocation. Like here the question is raised that these boys, you know, these Pauganda boys are just like 6 years old. First of all, they knew exactly who Dhenuka is. They knew all about his demoniac qualities and how great of a demon he is, and all these activities. They understand the conclusion, and they were just entering their sixth year. They never went to school. They never had any education. No one ever educated them. You know, they were in the Varnashram system. They were in this cowherd tradition. None of the boys were allowed to go to school. That was the system, that they were vaishyas, so they didn't go to school, so they have no education. All they do is that they tend to the cows. But how is it that they had this full understanding of this whole Shastra conclusion and who this demon was? There was a similar question raised with Lord Nityananda. On Nityananda's appearance the other day, we were discussing these pastimes in my hometown, where I grew up in Krishna consciousness, back in Guyana, Essequibo. And the same question, we were raising the same question as to why, how come Lord Nityananda and all his associates, his little boys, boyfriends, were able to understand all these pastimes of Lord Krishna, and they were performing them daily, because that was Lord Nityananda's activities. He was performing all these pastimes on and on and on, day and night. So how come they came to that conclusion? How are they able to understand? They were just like 5 and 6 years old. But as described, that they're all first-class devotees. They're on the topmost platform, which means that they understand all the conclusion of Vedic knowledge. They are way above that. Just like Radharani, with all she appears as a very simple village girl, her name, one of her names is Hari Rasa Pandita, that she understands the topmost level of the rasas and pastimes of Lord Krishna, and she understands all the conclusions of the scriptures. So she's topmost. So, similarly, these boys, they understood all the conclusion with all they appear to be just like little boys, but because they're topmost devotees. And then there's another question raised here, that how is it that these devotees, now we understood that they're all very elevated devotees, how is it that they are able to step down to where they're affected by desires? How is that possible? For a devotee, it's not possible. It's not possible that one lose control of his senses. It is stated that even the material world, for ordinary dealings, Rupa Goswami stated in his Upadeshamrita, Vachu Vegam Manasa Kroda Vegam Jiva Vegam Udara Pasta Vegam, that one who controls his senses, controls his tongue, belly, and genitals, and controls his speech, that he's qualified to make disciples all over the world. So even an apparently simple thing like that, that one has to have all that control to perform those activities, then what to speak of these devotees who are topmost devotees? How much more of a Goswami are they? They were on the topmost level, and still, for some reason, they have succumbed to this desire, which is not at all befitting the quality of a devotee to lose control of their senses. In the beginning of the Bhagavatam, there was a similar question raised about Maharaj Parikshit, that how is it that such a great personality, such a great Rajarshi, so much of a way above the level of a Goswami, how is it that he became subjected to thirst, and thus requesting water from Shamika Rishi, who didn't respond, and thus he lost control of his senses and temper, and he garlanded Shamika Rishi with the dead snake. How was that possible? Such a great devotee understood the conclusion of scriptures, understood fully the position of a sage, understood the position of everyone, so much knowledge that they have, so much realization, so much of an elevated devotee. Maharaj Parikshit, from when he was within the womb of his mother, he had a darshan of Lord Krishna, who was protecting him from the Brahmastra weapon of Ashwatthama. And he was always longing for that darshan again. So from before birth, he was purified because he had a darshan of Lord Krishna. And thus he got the name Parikshit, the inquirer. He was inquiring, where is that person who I have seen within my womb? So such a qualified person he was. And still, for some reason, he lost control. And he did something as silly as disrespecting a great sage, and thus being cursed by the sage's son, Sringarishi. There's also a question raised there with Prahlad Maharaj as well. After the demise of his father, Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad Maharaj grew up, became the king. And then he was harassing. He was harassing the, demigods. And he was fighting and he was killing because of wanting to take revenge in some way, shape, or form. And the same question was asked, that why such a great personality, he had a darshan of the Lord, he is fully protected by the Lord, fully under the Lord's control, that how is it that he could have stepped down to lose control? Why is this? So all these questions are there, and there are several other examples within the Bhagavatam of how these very elevated devotees. Maharaj Yudhishthira also, the king of religious principles, is one of his names is Dharmaraj. Such a great personality, he's describing with such purity. And still, how come he stepped down to accept the challenge of the gambling match, knowing very well that his entire dynasty and his family members would be put to ruination? Why did he do that? So these are all questions that are raised in many aspects of our scriptures and in many parts of our of our Vedic tradition, that is very difficult to conclude unless one comes into an intimate circle of Krishna and his devotional service. That these devotees, they are directly controlled by the Lord. And in reciprocation, they take on voluntary austerity. Even Srila Prabhupada confidentially, he confided that he said he was a cowherd boy, and Krishna asked him to come to the material world, and he didn't want to. He said, no, that's too, there are too much austerities there. He doesn't want to. And Krishna told him, don't worry, everything will be fine. I'll give you the strength and ability to withstand those austerities, so don't worry about it. So, and we saw what Srila Prabhupada passed through to spread Krishna consciousness and make us where we are today. So in reciprocation, is described, Srila Prabhupada described also that a devotee willingly undergoes some suffering and austerities just so that the Lord's pastimes can be enhanced. Which actually puts us to a different question, that why should the Lord put us in a position to perform austerities so that his pleasure pastimes can be performed? Because we're seeing in all the Lord's pastimes how much his devotees suffered. Pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. There you go, the Pandavas. And here with Krishna and all his intimate associates, the topmost associates, look how much they were harassed by all these demons all the time, day after day after day after day. Not only day after day, but hours after hours. Literally, because demons are coming one after the next like that all the time. And they underwent a lot of suffering in the pastimes of the Govardhan Leela. Look how much suffering. The whole place was flooded. They were all devastated. So why are these things happening? Why is it that for the Lord's pleasure that devotees are allowed to partake in these suffering situations? Yeah, these are questions that is difficult to answer from an outward point of view. But for the Lord and his associates, the arena is completely different. It's completely out of the material world. That even Radharani said, he said that if I have to suffer And that becomes Krishna's pleasure, then I'm willing to do that. You know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also prayed in a similar thing with in the Shikshashtakam. So with the Lord and his devotees, they are much more intimacy than just performing these pastimes. Like basically in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. That whenever there's a rise of irreligion and a drop of religion, he manifests himself. What for? To protect the sadhus and to destroy the demons. But here we can see from these pastimes that his purpose is much more than that. It's much more than just protecting devotees and killing demons. If you kind of read more between the lines of these pastimes, it's much more intimate. Krishna creates a situation that anyone who reads these pastimes and study them, that we actually enter these pastimes too. Not only that we understand it as a story, but we enter these pastimes, and thus we actually open our hands and releases all our reactions to our past misdeeds, and thus pave the way for our spiritual elevation. So these are some of the thoughts that I have on this verse and, you know, this aspect of Bhagavatam here. If anyone has any questions or comments, we can take them. Trivikram Prabhu.
So, seems like when one takes to Krishna consciousness, he must have gone through many, many births of austerities and demigod worshiping and so forth until he finally comes to this stage. Krishna says, Bhavanam Janmanam Ante Gyatvam Mam Praparinti. After many, many births and deaths, one surrenders unto him. On the other hand, sometimes we see, or at least now, all over the world, people are taken to the process. So would you say that they have undergone a lot of births and sacrifices in the past, or they could just randomly or spontaneously take to the process?
There can be different ways to answer that question. We understand from scripture, yes, that due to their past karma, because from that angle, we can see that whenever Harinam party goes out, it's not only one person got the opportunity to hear the holy name. There are many, hundreds and thousands of people, but only one or two that would come forward to join the party and become devotees. So from that angle, we can say, yes, that is due to, you know, their karma, that they've already transcended that path, that now they're able to accept Krishna consciousness. So that's one angle. The second one is the Krishna consciousness is being spread mainly by the intervention of the Lord's devotees. So this principle is described as the intervening principle of a devotee. That a devotee go within the demoniac lives of outsiders and put a stop to their reaction, put a stop of their chain or cycle, and give them Krishna consciousness, forces them pretty much. He risks his life in many ways to do that. You know, there are many, many stories. I think you probably also have this story when that Muslim guy was, you know, running your Harinam party with a machete in Guyana. Were you in that party? Oh, you weren't there. Okay. Yeah. Good thing that there was a police officer just next door. Anyway, so devotees risk their lives to give Krishna consciousness and intervene in people's way of life. So So that's the intervening principle of a devotee. And then thirdly, you have the causeless mercy of the Lord. Causeless mercy, it cannot quite be explained by the English language. In the Madhura Kadambini, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains the cause of devotional service. So there are many arguments. He actually played the role of a devil's advocate and bring about different arguments that what causes devotional service? Is it by one's pious activities? Is it by one's ability of his knowledge of the scriptures? Is it by because he started to chant Hare Krishna? Is it by because that he was being instructed to engage in devotional service? So it's conclusion that the cause of bhakti is bhakti itself. That because of devotional service that one gets devotional service, which comes into the intermingling concept of Guru and Krishna, Yasha Prashada, Bhagavat Prashada, and Yasya Devi Para Bhakti Yata Devi Tata Guru. That because of the mercy of the Guru, one gets Krishna, and because of the mercy of Krishna, one gets Guru. So this the cause of devotional service is devotional service itself. It's a whole long detailed discussion to understand the whole concept, but basically, so it's the causeless mercy of the Lord that causes one to be engaged in devotional service or to get to join to become a devotee. So from many angles one can see that the Lord's arrangement is there, either by the intervention of devotees, the Lord's causeless mercy, which is also the intervention of the devotees. So it can be explained from many different angles, and there can be a lot of arguments about it. So, any other questions? Okay, so nothing else. I guess we can stop here. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.